From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening to wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines this hour, next hour. Though we held back on our last program with him, Ken Klein says he's now ready to discuss some of his theories of the pyramids and visitations. That's going to be an interesting night. Here's some breaking news. A violent solar explosion sent a dangerous wave of radiation through space, as we reported last night, but prompting NASA to order crews of Discovery and the International Space Station to take shelter overnight. The solar flare erupted around 9:40 p.m. yesterday, unleashing enough radiation to disrupt radio communications on Earth and in orbit, while endangering astronauts circling 220 miles above the planet. Space weather forecasters now are revising their predictions for the storminess after this major flare. They're looking now for a very strong, severe geomagnetic storm to begin probably around midday on Thursday. The radio communications, satellites, and power grids, they say, could face potential interruptions or damage. If you're trying to make cell phone calls tomorrow and you're not getting through, remember this story. Solar flares send radiation to Earth within minutes. On the line with us now, Professor James McCanney. He's a physicist, of course, and a regular contributor here at Coast to Coast AM. Jim, this one is coming right at us, isn't it?
That's what they say, yes. And they have good reason to believe that. I am always amazed when they say it will take out satellites with military-hardened, rad-hardened electronics, yet there's no danger to people in space.
Yeah, I wonder. Now, this is categorized as an X3 solar flare. It wasn't as big as the one we talked about last week, but this is a direct hit, isn't it?
Yes. In fact, you said that the other night. You asked me what would happen if we got a direct hit. And, of course, this is a bit smaller, but more closely directed to Earth. And what we may expect, certainly we're expecting auroras and power grid issues potentially tomorrow. I'll be watching that myself very closely. I'll be in a communication with quite a few people that can give immediate feedback on that. So I'll have a read on the electrical grid and what's happening throughout the North American continent.
James, do they really know what it can do to human beings on the planet?
Well, I think the Russians were far better tuned to this a long time ago. They were talking about it. You don't hear that much in the U.S. press about the dangers. The thing we're getting, the issue we're dealing with here, which is very unusual, we're getting a lot of cosmic rays. If you look at the SOHO cameras, the fuzzy snow-like activity on the C2 and C3 cameras, those are due to cosmic rays, which are high-energy relativistic protons, basically, coming out of the sun. And they get here almost as fast as the light does from the flare, whereas the regular proton flares take a couple days. But we're getting a tremendous amount of cosmic ray activity.
Yeah, this is a big sunspot, too, that these are erupting from, sunspot 930. This one is huge.
It is amazing how big this sunspot is, and during a solar minimum, very unusual.
Absolutely. Jim, thanks for the update. Appreciate it. James McCanney's website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. He does a fantastic job for us whenever we're talking about some of these issues in space. But as we reported last night, there was a geomagnetic storm expected from Tuesday's solar flare, and now they're saying it will be severe. That's what they are expecting. So as if we have enough to worry about the Earth creating big storms, now we've got the sun doing what it does. So we'll just have to sit back and see what happens on our program Thursday. In Idaho, officials are scrambling to determine what has caused the deaths of thousands of mallard ducks in south-central Idaho near the Utah border. Now, although wildlife experts are downplaying any links to the bird flu, which I said is not going to be a pandemic for humans, they have sent samples to government labs to test for the deadly H5N1 flu strain, among other pathogens. The officials with the Federal Bureau of Homeland Security have also been called in to help with the probe. Now, isn't that interesting? Federal officials say that lettuce was now the most likely source of an outbreak of E. coli linked to the Taco Bell chain. Taco Bell had said contaminated green onions were responsible for the cases of food poisoning. 71 confirmed cases of E. coli in 5 states, primarily New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. Follow-up government testing, however, failed to confirm that. The interviews with patients and other work led them to believe that lettuce was the probable culprit. The Food and Drug Administration plans to trace the lettuce to its source if they can. In Michigan, assisted suicide advocate Jack Kevorkian, remember him? He will be paroled in June. Kevorkian, who claimed to have assisted in at least 130 deaths in the 1990s, was imprisoned in 1999 for his role in the last of the deaths. The ailing former pathologist has promised he would not assist in a suicide if he was released from prison. He's 78 years old. He has been eligible all along for parole on June 1st of 2007. In England, growing concern tonight that police are drawing a blank in the hunt for what they call the Suffolk Strangler, almost like Jack the Ripper. Officers there have been overwhelmed by the discovery of 5 bodies in 10 days of prostitutes. In New York, a fellow by the name of Mohammed Yusuf Mullawalla wanted a license to transport hazardous materials and to learn how to drive commercial tractor trailers. Now, there's nothing unusual about that, until he told his teacher that he only wanted to learn how to drive forward, and he wanted to learn fast. That was enough to raise a red flag with Darlene Crawford, president of the nationwide tractor trailer driving school in Rhode Island, where Mullawalla took driving classes. Federal and state authorities are investigating why he was seeking a commercial trucking license after his behavior raised flags at the Rhode Island driving school. Crawford said that he also was insistent on taking the test necessary to earn a license to transport hazardous materials. Mullawalla is a 28-year-old citizen of India who is of Pakistani descent. He's now in federal custody in Massachusetts on immigration violation charges. Well, one of my favorite actors, you probably don't know the name, but you sure would if you saw his picture. Emmy Award-winning actor Peter Boyle, best known as the father in the sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond, has died at the age of 71. Boyle came to fame in 1974, playing a tap-dancing monster in Mel Brooks' spoof horror movie Young Frankenstein. He has also been seen in Malcolm X, Taxi Driver, and most recently, Santa Claus 3. He had been suffering from cancer of the bone marrow and heart disease. He died in a New York hospital. I saw him many months ago here in Los Angeles at the Great Greek Restaurant on Ventura, and it was kind of fascinating to see him. He had one of those really distinctive faces. Peter Boyle, dead at the age of 71. And in the United Kingdom, the hacker who broke into dozens of U.S. military computers to find secret evidence of alien life and technology faces up to 70 years in a U.S. prison. The 40-year-old unemployed systems administrator faces charges of attacking 97 U.S. military and NASA computers between 2001 and 2002. If he's found guilty, he could face up to 70 years in prison and may even be sent to Guantanamo Bay as a terrorist suspect. His name is Gary McKinnon. We had him on the program before with Linda Moulton Howe. He will lodge what is likely to be his last appeal against extradition on February 13th next year at London's Court of Appeal. He lost his first appeal against extradition in a high court hearing last July, but was given leave to take his case to a higher court. Now, he has admitted accessing computer systems in the U.S., including those cited in a U.S. indictment against him. He wanted to find evidence of UFOs, anti-gravity technology, and government suppression of free energy, all of which he claims to have gained evidence of through his activities. Isn't that interesting? Well, we've got open lines for you now for the entire hour. Here are the phone numbers west of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. The wild card line is 818-501-4109. Couple questions as well I want to ask you. One is, in this E. coli situation, Taco Bell is coming out now with a major advertising campaign to get people to come back. I want to know if you would go back. I'm very curious to see what a E. coli scare and situation would do to you as an individual. Would you go back to that restaurant, or would you just simply say, that's it, I'm not going to do that anymore? And then we can react to this Gary McKinnon situation as well. Do you think he should get up to 70 years for trying to find out if UFOs do exist? That and much more just ahead on Coast to Coast AM. I remember Dr. Dumas said on the program before that solar flare, coronal mass ejection could hit the shuttle, could mark the beginning of end times. And interesting, isn't it? Let's go to the phones. First time caller line, you're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Utah.
Well, welcome to the show. What's up?
I was wondering whatever became of the release of those Brazilian UFO files.
Well, they were released, as you know. The government has released them. People are perusing them, going through them. I know Linda Moulton Howe has been trying to go through some of them. We did a program on them when that happened many months ago. And some of the cases were pretty interesting. But they're still out there. Everybody's still going through them.
Still going through them.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Good to have you on the program. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George Norrie. Happy holidays.
Thank you so much. Very kind of you to say that.
You're welcome. I'm calling from Skagway, Alaska. My name is Keith.
Okay, Keith, what's on your mind way up there?
Remember when that meteor went by and landed Tagus Lake?
Yeah.
I happened to be sitting right here that morning. It was about 10 to 7 in the morning.
Did you see, you witnessed this?
Yes.
What did it look like? Tell me.
Oh, it was a white flash of light.
Just real fast?
Yeah. And I didn't think it was going to make it over the White Pass Summit.
Did you see any steam or anything coming off the lake?
No. The lake is way up into Canada.
Okay.
And we're actually about 200 miles from Whitehorse.
All right. So you obviously didn't hear anything either.
Oh, there was a loud sonic boom.
Oh, there was?
Oh, sure. It was moving pretty fast, George.
Did you know it was a meteorite when you first saw it?
No, I didn't. It was quite scary.
What did you think was going on?
I thought somebody was testing some government test going on.
Oh,
is what I thought.
Man. And you think maybe it went awry? Or did
That's
you
exactly what I was thinking at the moment.
That's scary.
Yes, it was.
That's scary. Okay, hey, thanks. Appreciate it. Wildcard line, you're on the show. Hi there. Hello.
George?
Yeah, hi.
George?
Yes?
This is Peter Kahn calling from the East Coast.
Hey, Peter.
I tuned in to check out what's on open lines, and for once I have some information for you about the E. coli scare.
Okay, and you're breaking up a little bit, Peter, so if I rush you through, it's because of that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling from a friend's phone. Now, listen to this. Now, you know how notice how the E. coli is being traced to some of the foods from Taco Bell.
Right.
So just a few days ago, I was meeting with some friends of mine who sent me a film on genetically engineered foods
at
Monsanto's genetic engineering. Now, one thing that Monsanto does is when they splice the genes of some of the foods they grow, like lettuce, tomatoes, they use E. coli and the gene splicing to help tell other strands of vegetables.
Are you sure?
I just saw this on a film at a university here on the East Coast about Monsanto's genetic engineering. They use, among other bacteria, E. coli in genetic splicing.
That is interesting. I'll have to check that. Now, you know, I know that they've been dabbling with genetically engineered tomatoes because I think they taste like cardboard. But I didn't know about the lettuce, and I definitely didn't know about the E. coli. I'm going to check into that just to make sure. But thanks for that. Thanks for the heads up. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Hello, George, Paulo in California. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. My question is this, as I'm waiting for meteorites outside. What do we do to protect ourselves against coronal mass ejections here on Earth?
There's not much you can do unless you have some kind of enclosure that is resistant to the radiation that will emit from this. You know, I don't think anybody has a lead-encased house. And we have to hope to God that it's not that big to affect us.
I've got a roll of tinfoil, if that helps.
You know what? Anything may help, but I'm not sure it will help.
Just want to disconnect the computers and just expect the cable to go out at this point, I would expect.
All we need is the grid to go out if there's any severe weather out there.
Well, there is severe weather out there. It's just a question of when it's going to show up,
and,
right?
And where you're going to be. Hey, thanks. I appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let us go to our other wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Good evening.
Good morning, sir.
Hi.
My name's Tom from New Lyme, Ohio.
Yes,
it's
sir.
About 60 miles east of Cleveland.
Okay.
First off, about going to Taco Bell because of this E. coli scare.
Would you go back?
Hell yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry, sir. Yes, sir, I will. But the main reason is because of the fact that we have antibiotics that can fight it. And then,
People have gotten really sick from this stuff.
Well, you know, I'm a professional pharmacy technician, and when I was going to school and stuff, it depends on everyone's chemistry to, if you, you know, will contract it, you know, easier than other people.
Well, I have to admit, though, I have gone to Taco Bell in the past. I mean, it's been a great fast food place. When you're, you know, going out during the daytime and you need something fast. But I got to tell you, this scare has got me wondering about that, and I may not rush back right away.
Well, I'm a professional pharmacy technician, so I had studying how this stuff goes, you know, with the antibiotics they got. We have super antibiotics that, you know, can cure strep infection that, you know, the bacteria that eats the skin, they have stuff that actually cures that and people don't die from that as much as they used to. I'm not saying that they still don't.
The problem is, though, you have to get diagnosed, though, pretty darn fast before this really gets you, right?
True. But most people will even have a small case of it and just think it's just, you know, a touch of the flu or something.
Exactly. People don't understand or realize that's not the first thing they think about. They don't say, oh, my gosh, right, I've got E. coli. I mean, they think they're coming down with the flu. They're achy. They don't feel good. And the obvious thing is then is they are sick, and then officials don't know about it until they see a lot of cases come in that are similar, and then they begin to talk to people, and everybody says, oh, yeah, I went here for lunch or dinner. Then they begin to realize there's something wrong.
True, but also, too, is that just the testing in itself takes at least 72 hours.
Well,
okay,
you're right.
To
you're
find
right.
it. And real quick, the other thing about the gentleman that, you know, hacked into the computers.
Yeah.
If I may say, I'm a former Marine, okay, Vietnam vet. All I can say is let him go to jail. We had the Freedom of Information Act that everybody and their mother can get anything from anybody.
Yeah, I wouldn't give him 70 years, but he did hack into military computers and installation, and there's got to be some form of punishment for that.
True. But I actually, he's on the bad end of the law. I mean, truthfully speak, with some of the judges and stuff we got out there, if he was dealing dope, he'd get a slap on the wrist and be back on the street in 2 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the one thing you don't want to fool around with is hacking into military and government installations, because they're going to throw the book at you. And I'm dead serious. He faces up to 70 years in jail if he gets extradited and he goes through the court procedure. I mean, all because he wanted to find out about UFOs. And Linda had done a pretty good interview with him some time ago. And, you know, I'm sure he regrets what he did. But I don't think he expected the severity of any of this. His mother says, hey, he's in the music. He's a nice guy. You know, don't do this. So, but 70 years, that's a long time. What about Kevorkian? Should he finally be allowed to come out? You know, he assisted 130 people who committed suicide, and he got nailed on second degree for the last one. 78 years old. He's going to be paroled in June of next year. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue. I'm also going to tell you in a second about the time change for our San Diego book signing for Worker in the Light, so get ready for that. I don't want you to miss it if you're in Cogoland down there in San Diego. Okay, here's the new time change in San Diego for the book signing, Worker in the Light. I'll be down there. Tommy's coming along with me. It will be from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, this Saturday, the 16th of December, and the same location, the Claire de Lune Coffee Shop, 2904 University Avenue, North Park, San Diego. So come on by. Love to chat with you. 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., and right after that, I've got a split. Got to get to the airport, but come on by. 1 p.m., 3 p.m., Claire de Lune Coffee Shop. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines this hour. The next hour, Ken Klein joins us as we talk about the lost legend of the Great Pyramid. He's going to talk about extraterrestrial visitations. And you might remember when he was on with me in April, I asked him a specific question. I'll talk about it later when he's on. He did not answer me, almost refused to answer me. He said he's prepared to answer that question tonight. It was a big question, so he will be on. And I'm not going to let him skate on this one. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Who are you?
This is Barb in West Virginia.
Sure.
I'm about 50 miles south of Pittsburgh.
Well, good for you.
And I noticed last week we had comtrails.
They're everywhere, Barb. They're all over the country.
But could it be a conspiracy on this E. coli thing? Could they be poisoning us?
No, I think one of two things are going on with these things. They're either trying to play around with the weather for some reason, or as some people think, they're spraying, downers on us or something to keep us under control.
I think they're actually making us sick.
Well, they might be.
Because I noticed the last time they did that, there was an outbreak of flu-like symptoms.
Huge respiratory problems
right.
with people. But
this
just doesn't
like,
seem to go away.
This was like a triangle, George. It was a triangle, and it had intersections between each corner of the triangle.
And you notice how when you wake up in the morning, assuming it's not cloudy, you have a nice blue sky, but by the mid-afternoon, it has now turned to chemtrails. And all kinds of vapor.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, something's going on, no doubt, Barb. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George, it's Greg in Indiana.
Hey, Greg, you're driving.
Yeah.
Yes, you are. Trucking. Saving America. What do you haul?
Do what?
What do you haul?
We haul meat.
Oh.
Yeah, we haul. We run all over the Midwest, Southeast.
So you got like a refrigerated truck, I guess, right?
Right, right. There you go.
Did you ever watch that program on, was it Showtime or HBO? Dexter?
No.
Oh, okay. He's chasing some serial killer who apparently he's in some kind of meat truck.
Oh, okay.
But that's not you, so we don't have to worry about
that. Nope, not me. Now, you were talking about the E. coli earlier, the lady you just had on there, Barb. I was just going to tell her not to worry about that as far as the chemtrails are concerned, because that's related strictly to vegetables. Like, I guarantee you, my daughter works for Taco Bell.
Yeah, what have they done internally? Can you tell us?
Well, the main thing that they've traced it to are the little green onions and whatnot that they chop up and put in their their burritos.
Right, but they tested them, and the FDA says that they don't think it came from that. They're now thinking it came from the lettuce.
Well, I don't know. All I know is the day that the first
case came out,
the inspections and whatnot went around. They dumped 17 cases of them.
Man.
Just took them out, threw them in the garbage.
I know. Isn't that a shame that you can't really trust where you get your food sources from?
Yeah, well, I live in Iowa, and the bad part about that, like I said, it's not only Taco Bell. We've got, in Iowa and Minnesota, they've got 9 cases of Taco John's that have had problems as well.
Yeah, I heard about that. And I think eventually they're going to find out that in some of these fields, it's pretty, pretty unsanitary.
Yeah, well, you know, like they were having with the, you know, the last big E. coli problem that they had. You know, they found out that spinach, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yes.
That, you know, they found out that, you know, they had hogs wandering through their spinach fields.
Yep. Unsanitary. Hey, thanks for the call.
That's what caused it.
Drive carefully. And by the way, for those of you who are truck drivers driving on Christmas night, you will have our voice in the dark. We will have a live program on Christmas night. And I'm going to lighten it up that night as long as there's no major heavy news story to damper that. But the live program Christmas night probably will originate out of St. Louis, out of the cave. And that's where I will be. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George, Brian in Kaysville, Utah. How are you?
Hey, Brian. Thank you. Good.
Hey, I'm thoroughly enjoying Worker in the Light. Just picked it up today and can't put it down.
Well,
enjoying it a lot.
Thank you. How'd you like the opening chapter about the Ouija board?
Well, that's what I'm calling you about.
Okay.
It reminded me of a Ouija experience that I had when I was a kid.
What happened?
About probably 1971, I was 10 or 11 years old. Four or five of us were playing outside on Halloween, and we lived in a relatively new neighborhood, tract of homes, and we went downstairs into an unfinished basement, and these kids had a ping pong table set up in the middle of the room. Nothing else in the entire room but a bare light bulb in the ceiling over the table. On the table, they had a Ouija board sitting out, and I remember that we were all standing on the same side of the table facing a wall, and we're asking questions, and it, you know, we were just kind of rowdy and not really paying much attention, but we got done and we're ready to leave and turned to walk out the door, and I turned and looked across the room, and bear in mind, there's nothing in between this bare light bulb and the wall. And I, do you remember the figure that's on the front of the box? It's like some taped. I don't know if it's the Grim Reaper or what. Well, whatever it was that shape, sort of a caped shape, started from the bottom of the baseboard and grew up the wall all the way up to within about a foot of the ceiling, a complete solid shadow. We were all just standing there dumbfounded. And then, of course, we ran like Hades out of that place, never to go back again, I don't think. I don't think I ever went back to the kid's house. But until I had heard about shadow people, you know, I didn't know whether this was something really evil or if this was like a shadow person. I've never seen a shadow person that I know of. What are your thoughts?
Well, there's no question that this, I think, opens up a portal to the unknown, to some other dimension or some plane of existence. And for some reason, the mere fact that somebody is playing, that someone wants to communicate, I think it's like an invitation. And I think they freely come through that way. I mean, I think people, you know, and it's very possible you don't need a Ouija board to do this. You know, people may be able to conjure them up just by thinking about it. But there's no doubt in my mind that there is some form of communication here and that it opens up a portal.
Well, it didn't seem to be very nice, let's put it that way.
No, and most of them that come through that way aren't.
Well, thank you, George.
Okay, appreciate you being on the program. First time caller line, you're up. Where are you calling from?
This is Brian from Denver, Colorado.
Hello, Brian.
How are you?
Thank you, I'm fine.
George, I was going to ask you a couple things. Back when I was like 5 years old,
okay,
I had this experience. I was living in my grandma's house with my mom and my two brothers and my little sister. And I remember standing in front of this window in the bedroom that we were sleeping in. And this bright object just come right up to the window. It was like a diamond-shaped bright object that just swirled.
Like a little one?
Yeah, I would say it was about as tall as a man. maybe 5'8", 5'10".
Did it look like that. Did it look like a figure of a person? This diamond shaped thing?
No, I mean, it looked like a diamond. It looked like
straight
a,
diamond. Okay.
It looked like a straight diamond object.
Did it
rotate it?
Did it look physical? Like there was some real texture to it?
From what I remember, because I was 5 years old, it looked like, it had texture to it. It looked like a real object.
Did it try to capture you or anything like that?
All I remember is it was at my window, and I was there for a long time, and then after that, I remember waking up.
That was it.
And ever since then, I mean, I'm 38 years old now, and ever since then, I've been having vivid dreams. You know how you have sometimes you have dreams that you don't remember, and then sometimes you have dreams that are just, like, real vivid?
Yep.
I have these vivid dreams of these objects, these different-shaped objects, but real colorful and bright, just flying all around the sky, like it was almost like a first encounter kind of thing.
Almost like a kaleidoscope, I bet. Hey, we got to move on, but at least they didn't take you. I hope. International caller, you're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Oh, hi, George. It's Mary calling from Toronto.
Hi.
Hi, I wanted to ask Alex Jones last night something about what happened a few weeks ago all across Canada, but I'm sure you'll have a good answer for it.
I may not.
Well, I'll ask you anyway. About 3 weeks ago on a Friday afternoon, between 4:30 and 6:30 Eastern time, we could not use credit cards all across Canada. And I found that out when I walked up to a grocery store door, and I saw a sign on it telling me that only for their store I couldn't use my credit card. So I thought, well, gee, I can't go in there. They can't sell me anything, and I can't buy anything unless I have cash in my purse. And when I came home, I listened to the news, and only on about two newscasts did they make any mention of it, and that was it.
But what did they say?
They said it was a software glitch, and they fixed it easily. And I never heard of it ever before in my life, and I've never heard of it again. But it was just really weird that we, for 2 hours, we could not buy and sell.
Sign of things to come.
Do you think that it was like a trial, like on purpose?
Probably not. I think they probably really had some kind of software problem that shut down the entire system. But that's dangerous. You know, if a little glitch like that can affect, you know, your country... you know, my gosh, just think what would happen if there's an intentional attack.
Oh, my goodness. Think if it can happen to our country, it could happen to yours.
And almost everybody is using credit cards now and ATM machines. I mean, I don't really see people with cash much anymore. I mean, there's some people out there that deal strictly in cash, but not a lot.
Yeah, you know, if you needed groceries and you couldn't...
Yeah, what are you going to do when you're in line, you got a whole basket full of goods, and the system goes down? You don't have the cash on you. You got to walk out.
Yeah, just me. I'd like to hear what Alex
Well, and it could happen tomorrow, or as we are in tomorrow already, with this huge solar flare, this X flare that is rapidly making its way toward the planet. It takes a couple days. But once it gets here with a furry fury, and when it does, it does. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hey, it's been great to talk to you. I've listened to you since you've come on, and I'm just tickled pink to be able to talk to you. I'm driving my truck, and we're here in Pennsylvania. I just wanted to ask you real quick. I like Richard Hoagland. He's a nice guy. But there's a few of us guys that were talking the other night, and I know that you have a lot of respect for Buzz Aldrin.
Yes.
I know Richard Hoagland's a friend of yours, but I guess it bothers, you know, we were talking about this, that, you know, even though Hoagland's never come out and called Buzz Aldrin a liar, he kind of... I don't know, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he comes off kind of like Buzz Aldrin's not telling everything he knows and this and that. And I guess I feel like, and I have a lot of respect for Buzz Aldrin, and I think he is the type of man to tell it how it is. I love to hear Buzz Aldrin and Richard Hoagland go toe-to-toe, because I think that is one battle Richard might lose. And I forget what the guy's name is, but he's called the something astronomer.
Oh, he's the, it's Philip Plait, the bad astronomer.
Yeah, I like to see Philip Plait as your science advisor, but that's your thing. But I really would like to see Buzz Aldrin and Richard Hoagland
duke it out. I would too. Well, let me tell you. First of all, there's no question that Richard Hoagland believes we've been on the moon. There's no question about that. But Richard, what was he saying about the, man, you're fast. What was he saying about the Buzz Aldrin thing? Is it about the UFOs? Because I know you believe we went to the moon. You support that.
Well, of course I do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't think you've ever talked about Buzz
Buzz. I've talked about Ed Mitchell. We actually had a debate with Ed Mitchell, me and Art and Ed, on the air, and we all parted friends, and Ed agreed to look at the evidence that we have. See, I'm very careful to give the astronauts every benefit of the doubt.
True.
They were on the moon in bulky spacesuits with gold-plated visors.
Risking their lives.
Of course. There is every possibility up until Apollo 17, where we have evidence that's so astonishing, that the previous crews literally could not see many of the things that we now see in the photography because of lighting, because of the gold-tinted visors, which limited visibility for the human eye, et cetera, et cetera. If in fact they did see things and have not told the American people, then the fallback position is they are obviously military officers. They are under orders.
Well, and there have been a conflict between what Buzz said on a documentary where he was on, I mean, it was his voice,
yep,
and what he said on this program a few months ago. And it was a little contradictory to what
it was,
we saw.
And again, I would love to have a chance to discuss with Colonel Aldrin or any of the other astronauts. I mean, we have some astonishing information that I'm assembling now to present to the L.A. conference that you and I and Arianna Huffington and some other people are going to be at next February. I'm going to reveal some extraordinary new imagery. We've discussed some of this. We put some of it on Enterprise. It's up there now right now. But there's a lot more to come. I have never accused anyone in uniform of lying.
Always want to get your side on, Richard.
Okay.
All right. It was a good call. Hey, thanks for the call also. And I just wanted Richard to be able to tell you exactly how he feels about that. And I'm glad we were able to get him on so quickly. Thank you, Tommy. I'll be back in a moment. Ken Klein joins us, the Pillar of Enoch on Coast to Coast AM.